Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the coolest hour on internet radio. It's Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John Stamey. We got a bang up show, great guests, a lot of fun getting ready to happen. Emanating tonight from the sun and fun capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And it's cold outside, but it's warm in here. And Buddy Dave, well, I'm participating in some things that'll warm me up inside, and we're gonna have a great show. First of all, I of course want to introduce my guest, my co-hosts. Then I'm gonna talk about the event this weekend. Then comes our guests. So first of all, Dave Atwell, curmudgeon at large, how are you doing?
What's going on? I hope everybody's doing well this evening. Like you said, the weather is pretty decent, but it's still a little too, I guess when I was in my 20s, I could sit out there in a pair of shorts when it's like this. But, you know, you start advancing in age, you get a little wiser, and you just can't hang the way you used to. So you go inside and you try to find a warm spot. And enjoy the evening, despite the fact you would like to be outdoors blowing a cigar.
Did you say, Dave, you got a little bit wider? Is that what you said?
Well, that happened too.
That being said, it's not hanging like it used to.
Yeah, it's
his earlobes.
Yeah.
Earlobes. Everybody is his earlobes.
Changed.
That's right. All right, Dave, continue. Anyway, we are glad to have you here as usual. Everybody, I've been trying to talk to this boy 2 days, and he's been ignoring me just because he had his son's birthday, and he has a wife, and he has a job and a business, and he was ignoring me for 2 days. There you go, Dave. I know. And I called him up. I said, Dave, are you alive? He said, well, I'm on the phone, aren't I? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
I'll tell you what happened last night. We, you know, Dale and Rob both have the same birthday. And with Rob turning 21 last night, you know, we said, hey, we're going to take this young man out to dinner. We're going to get a couple beers, you know. And, you know, by God, you know, it's a rite of passage to have your son to go on out there and buy himself a beer. And there you are, sit shoulder to shoulder with your son. You have a beer with him, you know. So, you know, here's Rob, you know, big guy, 260, about 5'9", 5'10", you know, and he's got his ID all ready. We go into first place. He orders a Budweiser. She says, no problem. Boink. Comes back with a Budweiser, right? He was like, well, guess I'll put it this way. He put his ID up. Well, we went to two other places, and none of the places carded him. So
that's
one drink into two drinks turned into three, and it turned out to be a good evening. So no, I wasn't answering the phone yesterday evening because I was well on my way. So
that's great. I gotta tell you something funny. When I turned 21 and I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at Wake Forest University, and I walked into that liquor store. And I asked, because that's when you used to ask at the counter for what you wanted. And the guy went and got it. And I looked at him and I said, don't you want to see my eye? He said, absolutely not. I can tell when someone turns 21 and it's the first time they've been in a liquor store. I just know, and I'm right. I said, well, could I show it to you? He said, if you want to. And yep, sure enough, I was 21. But it really made me mad. He didn't want to see it. He said, now tomorrow I would probably wonder if you were 21 or not, but I can just tell there's a certain feeling of pride when you become 21. So it was just kind of cool, you know, and Rob hit that. He just had the pride of being 21. So congratulations, Dave, for having a nice guy who's your son and he's 21 years old and all that good stuff. So now he gets to start helping pay the tax on the house, right?
Yeah, that's right. He can start adding in, or at least he's buying some food.
That's exactly right. Well, glad you had a good time. The one and only from Indianapolis, Indiana at this moment, Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding to supernatural and just ecstatic to be here, people. It is, I tell you what, Dave, appreciate you posting the photos of little man turning 21. Freaking rough. Holy crap, how's he 21 already?
Oh,
I saw the photo. I started hurting. I reached for the Bengay. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And I mean, he's and I used to bitch about him sucking down the Similac like a madman. You ought to see him with food.
Right? Man,
right,
they grow up
fast. Yeah.
Well, whatever that is, but that's okay. Anyway, glad you're here, Todd. You're always as entertaining as they come. You really are. And I got to tell everybody. So Todd is on the phone with me. Says, "Well, where's those pictures?" I said, "I tagged you in them at 11:30 this morning. Facebook. Did you find them, Todd?"
I did.
Good, good. I'm proud of you. I hope everybody got tagged in them. So now. Now that I have insulted my co-hosts, which is the first thing any good host will do, you got to insult your co-hosts. Number one. Number two,
yeah.
I got to say that this weekend, big weekend for me, down in the greater Charleston area, first of all, Friday night, 7 p.m. at Ghost Monkey Brewery, the second Krampus Festival. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be beer, craft beer. It's going to be the Krampus doing his dance around the around the fenced-in yard, yelling and screaming, spooky music. We're going to have video of it. Some dude named Josh Pierce is going to help me. Actually, he got inscripted or whatever you want to call it about 2 minutes ago. But we'll be talking about that later with him. But no, it's going to be a blast on Friday night at the Ghost Monkey Brewery, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, the new home of the International Krampus Festival. And then Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the one and only Somerville Comic Con. And that's going to be a blast. We got 35 vendors. We got Alex Smith headlining. We've got Melissa Pierce headlining. We've got everybody there. And from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., we are doing a live Murder 123 about the meanest woman in America, Lavinia Fisher. And that was back in the day in 1819 when highway robbery was a capital offense and murder wasn't. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about some mean-ass people outside of Charleston. Oh, my God, they would beat people, rob them, throw them in the swamp. They'd run away, hightailing it. And what a bunch of mean people. So Murder 123, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be exciting. Starring, of course, Dr. John, Robin Haynes-McCrae, Janice Carter will be there. Papa Stro Maestro will be on the panel. And calling in through Skype will be Tony Filosi and Devin Tate from Hollywood. So, I mean, we got the full cast and crew. And at 2 p.m., we're going to be viewing Papa Stro's documentary, The Maestro. Can't wait to do that. It's a really great film, and I've seen it now, and we're looking forward to having it. So everybody needs to come out. Charleston's going to have a weekend unlike it's ever seen. I'm putting it on. They've never seen anything like me. Right, Dave? Did I catch you asleep, Dave?
No, Dave, I had a damn mute button pressed. No, right on, man.
You are a mess. Anyway, okay, Somerville Comic-Con Saturday, December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, and December the 6th, Second International Krampus Festival from the City of Religious Freedom, Greater Charleston, better known as Mount Pleasant, at the Ghost Monkey Brewery. And thank you, John, and everybody there for letting us come out and having a grand time. You can come out and see an incredible artist, Melissa Pierce. You can come out and see her husband, Josh Pierce. He may not be as incredible of an artist, but he's pretty cool to talk to. Then come out and see Zach Somov of Charleston Caricatures. You can come out and see Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. You can come out and see the astronomer and look at Saturn and its moons and its rings. And I mean, how much more fun can you have?
Not much more fun unless you want to say that Krampus goes around beating people in the legs with a stick.
Well, fine. All right, and of course I snuck right into my introduction to two of the nicest people I have ever met, and I truly mean that. And do you know what they do for me? They store my table. They store my 4-foot table that I can never carry in my car. So, I mean, what nicer people can you have? Melissa and Josh Pierce from St. Matthew. Thank you for being here. You are great people. I cannot wait to hang out with you guys Friday night and Saturday, along with, of course, our buddies Robin McRae, Pat McRae, Janice Carter, and Holly Coy, and just the whole crowd from Orangeburg County. Y'all are the best people. Number one, thank you for being here tonight. We love you a lot, and it was great. Now, I'm gonna tell everybody why we're here tonight. So I'm down there promoting yesterday the Somerville Comic Con, and so I had a weird experience. And so when I had what did he say? That's a quote from Animal House. What did he say? What'd you say, Todd? How dare you?
Say it isn't so.
How dare you mock me? That's what President Trump said. How dare you mock me? I'm leaving NATO. Right. Anyway, so I called Josh, and it was like getting dark, and I was trying to get some guests and everything, and I needed to talk to him. Because here's what happened. Let me tell everybody my story, and then I'm turning it over to Josh, and then we're going to have the Josh story. Then Josh is going to tell us about North South. Josh, you know what that means. And I believe Melissa has a story. And then by that time, there better be stories from Todd and the old curmudgeon himself, Dave, and we're going to have just a hell of a show. So here's what happens. When I come from Myrtle Beach to Somerville, I drive down Highway 17A, 17 alternate. It goes, you take 17 to Georgetown, then you take 521 over to 9 Mile Curve, and then you get on 17A. And I'm going to tell you what, that is a spooky place. It is, there's just nothing but woods, not a lot of people there. I have heard tales of UFOs there. I have heard tales of Bigfoot. In fact, we're going to have a friend of mine who's going to come on and talk about some crazy things that have happened in the woods off of 17A that runs between Georgetown and Monk's Corner. And then it goes, of course, into Somerville. So it's my kind of haunted highway. So Josh Pierce.
Yes, sir.
Told me a story. No, I'm not calling on you. I'm mentioning you. He told me a story about 7 or 8 months ago, and I said, write it up. And he did. He sent it to me because that's going to be in my upcoming book, Stranger Experiences, and that's one of the keynote stories because it's going to kind of be interwoven with this one. So I'm driving down 17A. I get to this place called Jamestown, which is not very big, and you make a right, and then you are in the woods. Now it is scary. There's no cell phone service, and I don't like driving back there at night when it's dark, because it's really dark on 17A between Corner, Macedonia, and Jamestown. That's the scariest 20 miles I know, but I do it because it's the best way to get to Somerville. So I'm driving down yesterday, 17A. Not much is happening. I'm just moving along, doing 60 miles an hour. And I look up at the sun, and the sun looks kind of splotchy and weird. And, you know, I haven't seen that in a while. So I looked, and then I looked to the left, and there was a glare. I said, what on earth is that? So I said, you know, I probably need to get somewhere to a clearing so that I can take a picture of this. I always try to take a picture of anomalies. That's why this show tonight is called South Carolina Anomalies. So I get to the Macedonia First Methodist Church, and I pull in the parking lot, and I jump out of my car, and I take a picture of the sun on the right and this glowing, glaring anomaly directly to the left of it. And then I say, is there anything to the right of this thing? And there is. And there's a rounder, even rounder, ball of light. And all these seem to be cloaked in what is becoming chemtrails. And the clouds are moving in, and this stuff is being covered up. And I've seen this before. My friend Marshall Masters, the Planet X guru, you know, he wants to, he like I, we try to avoid Planet X and all these things because they will tend to eat up your time. But I have a picture of on left and on right, and you can go to the Facebook page for Pop Culture Stars, and you can see these pictures. Now, here's what I can tell you, and I'm asking Todd to comment on this because he has something. When I looked at this, I have seen things like this. They're called sundogs, but they're normally when you have very, very cold weather. We did not have cold weather that day. I mean, it was 52. My thermometer in my car that I can read says 52 degrees. And I'm looking at it, and these are sundogs. These are additional disks of sunlight. And everybody can go to at Pop Culture Stars on Facebook and see them. And I was scared, and so I took pictures. And so as soon as I can get, because I said I can't call Josh till after 6 p.m. because he's at work. So I called him. And that story comes next. Todd, what do you have for me?
You said you didn't want to go with Planet X because you get into your own rabbit hole with that, right?
But we'll do it tonight. We'll do it tonight.
Well,
that's what this show's about.
I was going to say we could maybe discuss Hercolibus, Nibiru, Nemesis, that kind of thing. I thought it was a little bit interesting as you were mentioning that, but it keeps coming that it's not, you know, you aren't the first to document this. It's looking back at some stuff from 2014, and man, I keep finding this word Nibiru, Nibiru, and I tend to use the Asian enunciation where the I is,
yep.
It sounds like it, Nibiru, and
right, and here's what I'll say, because here's what I want to do, Todd. So you have mentioned that we've got this Planet X thing going on. We've got strange things happening. We've got strange objects around the sun happening in certain atmospheric conditions. And this, to me, does not look like a sundog in any way, shape, or form. And it's just not cold enough. So what I want you to do is I want you to hold that thought. Because I'm now going to turn the table over to Josh Pierce, and he's going to tell you guys a story. Now, my story happened.
Yep, real quick here, just to be clear.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Josh,
yeah.
This is where he really is calling on you.
Yeah, I'm right here. Not to worry. Yeah,
he's almost
just
ready.
Sure, so. Okay. Yeah.
Todd, you're horrible, but that's why we keep paying you, man. So here's the deal. I am 10 miles outside of Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and this is where I see it. Josh Pierce, you're on deck. Tell us your story, and why is it important that I called you about a Monk's Corner incident?
Because my incident was right outside of Monk's Corner, too, between Monk's Corner and Somerville, actually. Kind of headed off towards the little town of Jedburgh, if anybody knows where that is.
We've seen the sign.
Yeah. Well, that's about all you see of Jedburgh. It's not very much there. it was right at the end of Cooper Store Road, where Jedburgh Highway, and where it intersects with Old Charleston Highway 176. So major road there, and it's back in 2003. So it's been a while now. I was a senior in high school, and growing up, my mom, my grandma, my uncle, they had told me about, you know, this, you know, huge disc that was in the sky that looked just like the moon or something that was trying to look like the moon. And it was, you know, it seemed quite right. It was very, very big, just looked a little bit off. And they kept saying it was just something you can't explain. And, of course, you know, randomly that evening, you know, my mom had gone to drop off my sister at a friend's house or something like that. And she called me up and she said, "Hey, that thing that I saw when I was young, it's back. Do you want to try to see it?" Well, of course, my answer is, absolutely, I want to go and try to see this. So,
oh, my God, I want to see it.
Car. Right, exactly. Like, who is going to say, no, I'm good? Really? But yeah, I you know, she gets to the house, I hop in the car, and she takes us down to the end of Cooper Store Road, and, you know, it's not like this is an out-of-the-way place. I mean, it's right there on a major highway, on a 176, which used to be the main highway before, of course, 26. But, yeah, I mean, we got to the end of the road, and she said, well, there it is. I'm looking at this thing, and it looks like the moon, or at least it looks like something that's trying to look like the moon. It's big. It's much bigger than any moon I've ever seen. And I kind of measured it out as the size of, you know, a little bit larger than my hand held at arm's length. You know, just proportionally, that kind of adds up for anybody's proportion. So if you hold your hand out at arm's length, it's that large.
Dave, hold your hand out, okay?
There you
too
go.
Dave, hold your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, hold your hand out and hold your breath, and we'll let you know when to breathe. Okay. I'm sorry, Josh.
Go ahead. But you know, I noticed that the color wasn't quite right too. It was, you know, a lot of times you'll see like a full moon and it looks kind of yellowish or orangish. This one was an unnatural kind of color, something I hadn't seen, very, very yellowish. And the, I don't know, you normally see, you know, the moon that you're used to looking at. This didn't seem like it matched up quite right. It just seemed odd. But I tried to kind of explain it away. Well, you know, maybe it's on the, you know, low on the horizon. Maybe it's, you know, just refraction of light or whatever. And she said, well, yeah, that's fine and good. But what's that? And she points to behind us, and there's the regular moon. You know, it's higher in the sky. It's just regular size, regular full moon like you'd normally see. But it's on the other side of the sky, like it's just coming up. So I can't explain it. The oddest part was, you know, you could watch what I call, you know, the regular moon. And we stayed there about an hour. And it was moving in a regular old arc. It was coming up, and then the other one, I don't know what it was. I guess like a image or a false moon or whatever. It did not move. So it's very, very odd. Yeah, to this day I can't explain it. But we stayed there over an hour and watched that thing, and it did not move at all.
That's wild, dude. I'm going to slide in with a quick interruption. John, we've got Liz trying to get in on the show.
Oh my goodness. The Queen of Sparkle. The Queen of Sparkle is here. How are you, Liz?
Oh my God. So good. I'm happy to be here. So I've missed you guys.
We're so glad. Yeah, we've missed you too. We're glad you're here. We're having fun talking about South Carolina UFO and crazy anomalies, and we've talked about the double sun that I saw yesterday and took pictures of, and the double moon that Josh Pierce has seen, and his mother had seen it previous to when she showed it to you, had she seen this crazy, weird double moon?
I think she said probably like 78, 79. They had said they had gone to the drive-in movies. It was her, my grandmother, my uncle, and they were on the way back from the movies when they saw it. But she said it's the exact same thing. Exact same thing that we saw back in 2003.
And strangely enough, it was in the area of Monk's Corner, South Carolina, suburb of Charleston.
Right.
Just like the pictures that I showed of multiple small suns next to our sun, saw that in 10 miles outside of Monk's Corner. I mean, what the heck is going on here?
Well, that's popped in my head. That's roughly 16 years apart. We might not be too far off from a pattern. Might be something to keep in mind. Might give us kind of a search methodology.
Could be, yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. So what do you think? Now, Josh, you started telling me some facts, and Dave and Todd, I want you to especially listen to this. You started telling me about some first facts about Charleston and its recent day in this past century military history. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing those?
No, not at all. A couple of them, they came to mind last night. I remember you asking, are there other strange things around the area? Well, I mean, it's all kind of things. There's one that's right down the road from where we are here in the middle of the state is the North Auxiliary Airfield. And that one, until recently, you couldn't find it on a map. I was able to find some stuff on Wikipedia and things like that now that paints kind of a boring picture of it. But, around here, it's kind of like a little Area 51. I mean, you see weird aircraft. I've personally seen something that looked very much like a helicopter that was right in the trees but made absolutely no noise at all. I don't know what noise that was.
Hilarious.
There we go. But
only on Fulton Stars. Go ahead, Josh.
Right. Well, it was actually one of the I guess what you'd call like the backup runways for the space shuttle if it ever had trouble on reentry. It's not a small airfield. It's rather big. Now it's actually under control of the Charleston Air Force Base, but formerly it used to be under the control of Shaw, Fort Jackson, and the Department of Energy at one time.
True story.
Naval Weapons Yard.
It's been around a while, like you say, and it has things. Just for the record, a lot of the auxiliary airfields that are usually at best have caretaker staff, stuff like that, that the government's still keeping some of these Plan B stuff. They've been around for a while. But, adding in the things like Google Earth and all this stuff, somebody that grew up next to it tends not to think a whole lot of things like that. We have, darn it, Dave, I'm drawing a blank on the name there. It's right there, Bogue Field. Okay. So Bogue Field there in North Carolina, they're on the edge of the intercoastal. That's not something you'll necessarily see a lot about. But they all tend to have just a little bit of history to them. It's pretty interesting, the thing on this. But you were right. It was I thought it was interesting. And I know about the Department of Energy owning it for the longest, or having ownership, part ownership of it for the longest. Because a lot of these auxiliary airfields, they'll have these places not far from a primary air base where they're combination emergency landing, stuff like that. But if the primary air base has a lot of traffic and stuff, that might be where, so the flight pattern is busy. They'll get some of the training purposes off to the side for practice and touch and goes and just, you name it, stuff like that for their for the staff. So there are things like that, but that thing's been around a while. That's World War II era establishment.
Well, now,
yeah.
Now, guys, I've got a question for you. This was particularly disturbing to me. I was driving from business one time from Charleston. I was trying to get to Camden, so I decided I'd go to Sumter because it was some highway, some non-numbered highway that got to Sumter, and then I know exactly how to get to Camden. So I'm driving, and I get into Sumter County, and here starts.
I hate Sumter County.
Really? Do you, Liz? Why?
I do. We got illegally searched by the officers one night on 95 in Sumter, South Carolina. But anyways, keep going. I'm sorry. Every time I hear Sumter, I go, ugh.
Okay. So here I am driving by myself, and I'm on this narrow old plain highway, and all of a sudden, there's the chain link fence and the barbed wire for 27 miles.
Huh.
Now, boys, 27 miles of chain link fence with barbed wire is not natural. Is it, Dave?
Sure wasn't a prison.
And it seemed to empty out into Shaw Air Force Base. What on earth goes on at Shaw Air Force Base? That is about as unnatural as North South Carolina and that auxiliary Air Force Base. And then the story that I've got to tell, which is going to shock all of you. It's the first time I've told it publicly, and I'm going to tell it, and the men in black can come see me. But what is the deal? What is going on at Shaw Air Force Base? It is gigantic.
One of the things I think they do over at Shaw, and it might be why they have such a large area, is they actually have ground targets because they have they have one of the only squadrons of F-16s. So they of course do their practicing and things like that. They've also brought in F-22s and the F-35 joint staff fighters, where they're called now. But I have spent a lot of time in that area because my ex-wife is from there. I don't recall ever actually hearing about anything like that. So it makes you think. You know, they say it's off limits, it's dangerous, but it also kind of makes you think, well, you know, what's really going on?
Okay. Well, now here's my story. This is gonna shock you. 30 miles from Sumter is a little town called Kings Tree, South Carolina. Anybody ever heard of Kings Tree?
Oh yeah.
Dang.
It's the county seat of Williamsburg County. It's the poorest county in South Carolina and the second poorest county in America. It is frightening. The poverty level there is unbelievable. And I used to sell life insurance out in that area, and I met a lot of nice people in King Street. I really did. And I was out on a Saturday trying to just chase down some leads, and I was on Highway 527, which is a very old, not well-lit highway. And so it was Saturday afternoon, and I pulled over. And a cop pulled over and said, "Now, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, I sell life insurance, this. She said, "Well, I was just checking, because a lot of people wouldn't, like, pull over, use their cell phone." I said, "I was trying not to call on my phone, you know, that." She said, "No problem." Very nice lady. So I sat there and finished a couple of phone calls, and I looked up. And I was right next to the Williamsburg County Sheriff's Training Facility in Williamsburg County. And I said, "Okay." And all of a sudden, here came a gigantic Army convoy. It drove right in there, drove right through the gate. And I realized that every time I'd come by, there was an armed guard at that gate. Now, at the Williamsburg County Training Facility, there should not be an army. Okay? And that property backs up to Bernard Baruch's old plantation. Pobcaw, which is thousands of acres, and it's out there in the wilds of Williamsburg County. So you see probably no less than 100 trucks, you know, whatever, going in there. And that is the area where I saw the strangest Air Force, not Air Force, the strangest aircraft zoom across the sky from one horizon to another in about 8 seconds. Then 10 minutes later, it came right back. That's 30 miles from Sumter. That's 30 miles from Shaw Air Force Base. That is Hobcaw Plantation, which is very near Georgetown, South Carolina. It's only about 30 miles from Georgetown County, where Bernard Baruch owns so much land, and he gave it to the feds. And you've got a whole crescent there that people really don't realize. There's strange things that go on there between Georgetown, South Carolina, the Hobcaw Barony, between Williamsburg County and Hobcaw Plantation, between the Williamsburg County Sheriff's Training Facility to Shaw Air Force Base. And it's all a crescent right above Charleston. What's going on, guys?
I don't know, but I know that Shaw has a ton of auxiliary fields. And if I'm right, Sumter's Municipal Airport used to be one of their auxiliary fields, just as a thought. Now, I think we've got a story here that we missed, and it's going to be, imagine this, on our show, a tangent. Liz, honey, tell us about the search.
I'm sorry?
Tell us about the search.
That's exactly what we need to hear about, Liz.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay. So this was probably 8 years ago, maybe not. It was in 2010. My wife and I, who I was just dating at the time, we weren't married yet, were going to take care of her aunt, and she lived in Florida. And so, of course, we go down 95 because we're in North Carolina. That's the quickest way to Florida. And we were there for a few months, decided that we were ready to come home for a visit to see family. And we don't like to drive in the heat, so we drive overnight. So it was pitch black, and we were making that 8-hour drive. Or maybe it was 6. Don't hold me to that. Whatever. So we're driving back. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with 95, but 95 has a lot of cops on it just in general. But this particular evening, I'm not sure if they were, you know, looking for specifics or if they were just, it wasn't the end of the month, so I don't think it had to do with quotas. But anyways, so we're coming up 95 and we get to Sumter, and my wife drove the first leg of the drive and I would drive the second. And Sumter was, we had switched drivers about 15 minutes before the search happened. So I'm getting that in the car. I am taking off. And at nighttime, it's easy for me to get blinded when your brights are on behind me. So I have my rear view tilted. I always do. At nighttime, anyway. So we're driving along. And then we see three cops in facing different directions in the median in the middle of 95. And then I keep driving on. And then we see 6 more cops. And then we see sporadically random cars just pulled over. So we were like, you know what, let's just stop and grab some food, and we're going to relax a few minutes because we hadn't done anything wrong. It's just cops and authority figures in general make me nervous, or, you know, those that have the ability to pull me over and give me a ticket and cost me money makes me nervous. So anyways, we're driving along. We're looking for a spot to stop and get food, and then my wife looks at me and she says, don't be nervous. But one of the cops just pulled out behind us. Now, granted, there were 2 other cars behind us between me and the officer, but he kept going along and going along and going along, and then he cut them off and got behind me and put his bright lights on. But he didn't turn on his lights and he didn't turn on his siren. He just had his brights on in my rear view. Well, I'm not sure if it was because of the angle of the car or because it was an SUV that the lights were bouncing off of the rear view mirror into my eyes. So I adjusted that, and then whenever I adjusted that, I saw the sign for a Burger King, and I thought, well, we'll just take this exit, and we'll go stop and get some food like we talked about and go from there. Well, as I was taking the exit, he had flicked his lights, not the lights on top of the car, but his bright lights. He flicked them at me, and my tires hit the white line on the exit ramp. So then he turns his siren on, and he turns his flashing lights on, and I pull over. And I was like, well, I didn't do anything. And my wife's like, yeah, you didn't, what, I don't, what, you didn't do anything. So he comes to the window and he asks me to get out of the car. And I've seen a lot of movies that say, if you get out of a car when an officer is there, you're going to get shot. So I was like, okay, this is great. Now, granted, I was overreacting, but whatever. So I get out of the car. And he points to my tire, and he says, come here, look at this. So I'm looking at my tire, and he says, this tire hit the white line when you took this exit ramp. What are you running from? And I was like, nothing. And then he asked if, or he asked me what I was doing. So I basically, out of respect, was like, hey, we're going from Florida to North Carolina. We've been with our aunt, because semantics. And he goes, oh, I get it. So your sisters. And I said, well, no, that's my girlfriend, but it really doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. And he said, ah, okay. Well, we have, at this point, I didn't put two and two together. But what he was pointing at, when he was pointing at my tire, was our equality sticker that was on the back of our car. So then.
One of those.
So then he says, so if I was to search your car, I wouldn't find anything, would I? And I said, no. And he says, so you wouldn't have a problem with me searching it? I said, I can't answer that. It's not my car. It's my girlfriend's car. I said, if you ask her and she gives you permission, you can do whatever you want, but it's not my car. It's not my decision. So he goes around to the driver's or the passenger side, tells her that I have let him search the vehicle, and says she needs to get out of the car. Well, he has already escorted me to the other cop car and to wait there while he starts searching the vehicle. Well, another car pulls up, which is another officer. And so we have one officer standing with us. And we have one officer going to the car. And my wife does not look at me. She doesn't make eye contact with me. She's pissed. And rightfully so, because we always were like, hey, they ever want to search, they need a warrant. So she's looking at me, and as soon as she gets a chance, we make eye contact. She's like, why did you say they could search the vehicle? And I was like, I didn't say they could search the vehicle. I said they had to ask you because it was your car. And he said, or she said, well, he said, but you said it was okay, so he started searching the vehicle. Well, at that point, we were pissed because at this point, we'd been duped because, I mean, he told her a lie, and he basically, I don't know, it was just, the whole situation was fucked up. But anyways, so then they start going through the glove box. And inside the glove box is a bottle of Tylenol, Equate brand Advil, and acid reflux medicine. So he finds the bottle, shakes it, opens it, looks at it, sees there's three different prescription bottles or three different medications. They weren't prescriptions, but three different medications were inside that bottle. And he comes over and he starts to like interrogate us about these three particular, like, Tylenol, ibuprofen, and heartburn medicine stuff. And he's like, this looks like it's some kind of drug or something. And I'm like, dude, this is a Tylenol. At this point, I had been, like, complacent. Yes, sir. You know, whatever. And I was like, dude, that's a Tylenol. That's an Equate ibuprofen. And that's for heartburn. Because I'd had it. I'd had enough. I was so pissed. So at that point, he goes back, and he calls something over walkie. And I guess they verified that the three pills that were in the bottle were Tylenol, Equate, ibuprofen, and heartburn medicine. And so then he tells, you know what, you got to just start keeping your pills separate. And like he started harping on us about keeping our pills separate, which at this point, I'm not really sure what he was trying to do other than to piss us off, because they stopped searching the car. And then he goes, oh yeah, we forgot to look in the trunk, which was what the guy yelled at him who was yelling at us about the pills. So then they pop open the trunk. Well, what the only gratifying moment of this entire illegal search is
we had our dirty clothes in the trunk. And for people, this is going to be like too graphic or whatever. But the best part of this whole entire endeavor was he got a handful of period panties because we were taking our dirty laundry up home to wash. And you could see him as soon as he touched them. And he flailed and dropped it in our trunk. And that's when they decided to pack it up and leave. Then they wrote us a fake warning ticket that didn't actually have legit information on it. And it didn't actually have an officer's name. So we left after they said we could go. Then they followed us for 20 miles. And then they finally gave up. But they followed us for 20 miles after we had gotten illegally pulled over. And they found nothing. It was just the most bogus thing. So anyways, as soon as we pulled off the exit ramp, I was like shaking. So my wife was like, okay, well, I guess I'll drive the second leg. So she ended up driving the whole way back to North Carolina.
Wow.
And that's the story. That's the story.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow.
Was a great story for the kids.
You know what, Leslie? We've got to hang out a little bit. Funny thing is, and I don't know if y'all could hear it, but I could hear Liz's voice change. And, man, I know you're wound up now. Relax. Big hug. Just saying. Relax. Big hug.
Thank you.
I hear it. I hear it. Just saying.
Thank you, buddy. I'm breathing now.
Well, let's say that we have overprotective cops because we might have some very strange areas in South Carolina, and you were near one of them. And I'm telling you,
maybe.
There's one that I actually cannot talk about. Absolutely, I can't talk about, and it's too frightening. It's like the second story that I have two stories that I can't tell. And this is absolutely one that I can't talk about. But anyway, you never know where this wonderful show is going to go. But I can tell you that the central and low country part of South Carolina is crazy scary. There's lots of weird stuff happening. Now, Josh, your beautiful wife Melissa is on here because doesn't she have a story that she took part in?
She does. We were coming back from Easter, heading up 77, headed towards Rock Hill, where we lived back then. But yeah, I'll pass the phone over, let her tell the story.
Hey, Melissa, what you got for us?
Hey, John. Well, first off, I'd like to go and kind of switch over to Liz for a minute and just tell her that's messed up. My dad was a state trooper in Florida, and he would have never done that. And I am so sorry you had to go through that. That is some bullshit. They ain't supposed to do that.
I appreciate that.
I have a big respect for cops, but when they pull that kind of BS, that is clearly unprofessional, whether it's overprotective or not. He should have asked for your ID and said, hey, you know, not calling you out of the vehicle.
There were a lot of things he shouldn't have done, but yeah, you're exactly right. And I appreciate it. And I also know that despite the negative, there are good cops. There are just, you know, there are bad cops. There are probably far more good cops than bad cops. It's just the bad cops make the news. So, but yeah, they were jerks.
I know.
I'll say that a cop stopped me. He said, you got to get out of this car now. And he showed me my tire was about to blow. He said, we got to find
that's
you
good.
To go now because you are going to have a wreck. I said, oh, God, thank you. He said, follow me. He drove 20 miles an hour. It was like 5 miles. And he got me to this ratty looking place. But they patched my tire and everything. And you know, it's like, you look at those cops and you say, the guy probably saved my life. You know, if I was driving 70 miles an hour and I had a tire pop on me on the interstate, I could have flipped. I mean, and the guy, and he said, oh my God, you've got to stop now. You won't believe this. Get out. And it's like, I was scared. I said, God, what did I do wrong? So, you know, there are good cops, but there's good and bad in everybody. Is that correct, Liz? And Liz and Melissa. It's good and bad.
That's what. Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Not.
I mean,
I'm just letting you know that I am not trash. I'm just saying, if my dad heard about this story, he would have said that is very unprofessional. And again, he's a state trooper from Florida, and I have always known my father and the people he has worked with to be upstanding citizens. Now, I understand that there are bad things. I'm just saying, he must have been young or something. That must have been like a rookie thing. Like, he probably would have said, hey, rookie, rope it in or something. But that sounds very greenhorn to me. But anyway, I am sorry, I digress. I just wanted to go back and say that's messed up. But anyway.
We love for you to digress, Melissa. Thank you for telling us that's great. And thanks to your dad.
We are solid tangents.
Yeah, tangents should be our show's main name. Video.
Yes. But back to the story that we were about to be on. We were coming home from Easter from his family to Rock Hill, and the strangest thing, because I think we were either listening to the radio or talking or whatever, and I always look out at night to see the sunset, so it's cool. And lo and behold, there are 4 or 5 blinking lights. I don't think drones could be this accurate.
Not like a plane.
They were not like a plane. So these, and when I say blinking, I'm talking about like, it looks like some kind of strobe, just not even flickering, just like bright,
intensifying.
So there's one. They're all orange, by the way. There's one in the middle. One big one in the middle. And that looks like it's big. And it's just perfectly still in the sky. And it is not just flickering, but it's like I say, it's strobing. It's like big. And it's pulsing.
Yeah,
that's a good, yeah, that's pulsing. And then there are these other smaller lights that are moving in what looks like it could be animated. Like, if I was looking at that, I was like, hey, that's a really cool animation. And then it's just like, it hit me like, wait a minute, that's in the sky. I've never seen anything like that move with such precision. It's crazy. And they all moved in this formation, and some of them got a little larger, some of them got a little, or not really larger, some of them got a little far away, some of them got a little closer to the thing, and then all of a sudden, they all came in, and, you know, they all came to the big pulsar, whatever, and then they just disappeared. And I was trying to get, I hate it because at the time, cell phone, like, you couldn't get, I couldn't record any night videos with my cell phone at the time. That was almost 10 years? Good grief. It was 10 years ago.
Welcome to my life.
But it just depends.
Here we go, Dave. We're right back to how the heck did Rob turn 21? Just saying.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah.
Time. It really.
Way to bring us full circle, Melissa.
The circle of life.
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for 10 years, but we've known each other since like 2003.
That's the same year I had the sighting of the moon.
Weird.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It brings us back to 2003 when you saw the moons like that. Speaking of weird, just saying.
I,
I met her online, actually. You know, got to be careful who you meet online. But I met her a couple of months before the whole double moon sighting, so I know that she didn't have anything to do with it. So
why didn't you tell me about that back then? I don't think it ever came up.
Yeah, I didn't think about the timing of it. Now. Yeah.
Oh God, we started a fight.
What's the matter with you, Josh?
Why didn't you wait until now to tell her about this?
Look,
you got to keep things interesting somehow, right?
Yeah. It ain't no
way. Yeah. I guess you do.
Oh man, dead air trouble. I got to give you guys credit. You have dealt with our tangents and stayed on point. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Todd.
Thank you.
We know how to stay on. We know how to stay on point. And you know, and it's great to have a show where we talk about. I wouldn't exactly say conspiracy theories. I would talk about strange phenomena. I think that's, you know, kind of the best way to talk about it. And yes, ma'am, Melissa, what were you going to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, I do have another story if you'd like me to tell it.
Here's what I was going to do, because we have the magical 33 minutes left. I would like for everybody to tell a story. And
okay.
So, Melissa, you are first.
Oh.
Hey, Melissa, you're first. Tell us a story.
Okay. Well, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Not that story.
I'm kidding.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd say that. Thank you. Okay.
But seriously, in a night sky not so far away, all right, so we live out in the woods. We live in a really tiny space, and my wonderful husband has built me a beautiful head shower, and it is wonderful. I love it. And I am coming out of the shower, and fully robed, of course, and I look up at the night sky. And then I see this darn, it looks like a plane. I think it looks like a plane. But then it starts moving as though a fly were to move. And it's making its way from Swansea, South Carolina, all the way over to Orangeburg. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, that thing is either high or drunk. That alien needs to go home. That's the funny part. That's what I was thinking. But it was low enough, like below the clouds, and I had to get Josh. I'm like, honey, look at this. And he looks up, and he's like, oh, shit. I'm like, exactly, what is that? And I'm freaking out, but we stare at it for a good few minutes until it's gone. Now, I talked to another paranormal investigator who is into, you know, all of that, you know, into the paranormal, into the UFOs and aliens too, the Creep Geeks. I was talking to Greg, and I told him about it, and he said, you know, it sounds like an amateur, whatchamacallit, drone. And I said, nah, amateur drones don't fly like that. I've seen my dad fly his drone for the first time. It don't.
Yeah, it didn't look like gravity had any bearing on this thing at all. I was there. I saw it. I can't explain how that thing moved.
The closest I can think about it was a fly. But that's my story.
Well, if you're going to reference a fly, I'm going to go with, help me.
Help me.
Such a good movie. Jeff Goldblum was awesome.
I was thinking Vincent Price, actually, but yeah.
I just love that movie. Yeah. That's such a great movie.
Tell us about that. What's the movie? I mean, honestly, I got so many Vincent Price movies. Which one are you talking about?
The Fly.
Oh, The Fly. Oh, my God, yes. I mean, you know, truly one of the greatest science fiction films ever. Number one being The Brain That Wouldn't Die, and number two, The Man with the X-ray. Does anyone remember The Man with the X-ray Eyes?
Yes.
It sounds familiar, but I don't remember it.
Man, that was you could tell some of the early drug culture involved with it.
I remember that. Oh God, I'm so dating myself.
Good job. The Melissa, just for the record, since you referenced a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Dr. John and I, that's pretty much where our birth certificates are.
That's awesome.
But Todd, here's what I was going to say. You said you're dating yourself. Don't ever admit to that.
Please.
That's lonesome.
Look, the,
oh, God, nobody laughed. That's terrible. Oh, who laughed? Thank you. Don't ever date yourself. That's terrible.
I know
it's a lonely life.
Look, y'all know I'm up here alone on my own, so like I have much of a choice.
Don't ever date yourself. That's the worst joke ever. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, look, you know, thank you for the story. All right, who's next? We have Todd. We have Dave. We have
I got something here.
Okay,
for the record, you had kind of the voice message you left me yesterday, the classic example of when you leave work, remember to turn your ringer on your cell phone. I clearly did not. So Dr. John's given us a heads up for the show, that kind of thing. I found the message this morning. So I see the message about 3:30 a.m. I'm checking it out. I'm like, oh, man, how the heck did I miss a message last night? Go through that stuff in my head. I'm like, yeah, you moron, you didn't turn your ring around when you left work. So, you know, helpful hint for those with the cells. They did that, and he went through some of the concepts, and he wanted, you know, generally he kind of referenced how he envisioned the show changing from conspiracy theories to anomalies. Well, I did my thought on conspiracy theories, so that's where I was tracking. How many of you know anything about the concept that President Eisenhower had worked with not one but two different groups of aliens and may have created a treaty?
I've heard something about that.
I heard something about that regarding like artificial intelligence. I thought they were specifically referring to robots more than aliens, but that's the only thing I've really heard about it.
No, this is the apparently the two species speaking generally. The folks from the Pleiades, the Nordics, lost, and he apparently went with the Greys. So there's a whole story about how he went golfing there in 54 down at Palm Springs and disappeared because he had chipped a tooth whilst eating fried chicken.
Excuse me, could you say that again? Did I really hear that?
He sure did. The cover story was he had chipped a tooth whilst eating fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Kentucky Fried Chicken? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And, you know, now that you mention it, I have to laugh because we had talked about a number of shows ago that we figured out that General Tso was a Chinese version of Colonel Sanders for our Kentucky Fried Chicken, for the Chinese Fried Chicken. And I pointed that out to a friend today, and he almost messed himself. That was pretty solid.
Sorry. This is too funny. Please continue, kind sir.
Just things you learn on this show that you wouldn't learn anywhere else. They always say there's a second you somewhere.
That's right.
There's a bunch of us in this group, I think.
But yeah, there's this whole concept that the Grays, their access, and they're the ones that are most associated with abduction and experiments. And what was that fun movie?
E.T.
Paul or whatever it was, about the alien with those two Brits. And they do the, probing time.
You're talking about the original South Park episode? Never mind.
No, I am not a South Park guy. Just the void of the skill with the animation just couldn't buy into it. I did that kind of quality animation in the bottom right corner of my notebooks in grade school. Just saying. Now, mind you, it was a little stick figure bouncing a ball, but it was about the same thing. Y'all did that, like in the bottom corner of your notebooks? And
yeah.
Just, all right, good to go. There is thought that President Eisenhower, I tend to think of him as General, sorry, he made in the treaty back in 1954 with the Grays, but he had more than one contact, including 1953 with the Nordics. Just that. So that was my conspiracy theory. There were stories about a facility in New Mexico, that kind of thing that involves Grays. It's possible. I won't rule anything out. I'm not going to say it's probable. I'm just saying it's not impossible.
That is true. That is true. Very good. And that's exactly the nature of a conspiracy theory. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go with Dave. Then we're going to go with Liz. Then we're going to go with Josh. And then I'll finish up with my conspiracy. Mine's going to be funny because it involves every one of you. All righty.
Oh, Lord.
Dave.
Yeah, when it comes down to the alien abductions and the lights and all that, no, I have never had the pleasure and or opportunity to with the exception of having certain inebriants in my system, I see all kinds of things, but it with a sober mind and set of eyes, no, I have yet to be witness any of those, or much like Dr. John, have the privilege of being fondled by a Bigfoot or a Yeti from time to time. But I will say this.
That's just hot.
That would be my luck. Hey, what happened, Dave? Well, I got molested by the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, it wouldn't be nothing cool. It would always have to be something that was just totally shameful and you don't want to tell anybody. So maybe it's a good thing I've never been abducted by aliens, because, yeah, going back to South Park, I would end up like Cartman. I'd be the guy shitting satellites and everything for the next 2 weeks. No, they never touched my butt. Why would you ask a question like that?
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for laughing, Dave. That's just too good. Continue, kind sir.
But you were talking about Shaw Air Force Base. You know, it's everybody goes to Area 51 when they speak of the whole alien encounters and that kind of jazz. It's a law of averages. It's just a matter of numbers that it can't all. But the ability to get something, let's say something was to happen here in Oslo County, the ability to get said object, especially now with the social media, how we're knowing things at a split second. You know, I belong to a couple Facebook pages where they tell each other about traffic. You know, if there's been a car accident or just, you know, traffic backed up, it's pinging. And
oh,
telling
no,
you that.
I thought you were talking about the band.
No, not yet. But if something was to hit, let's just say we were to have some odd fireball come through and kablam somewhere in Oslo County, between all the scanner chatter, the you know, the internet, the Facebooks, the messengers, all that kind of good stuff, the ability for the military and the government to be able to cordon off and secure whatever that was, there's no way in hell they'd have time to get that thing humped over to Area 51 without some type of detection. So you know they've got to have certain other checkpoints here on the East Coast. And, you know, regionally speaking, you know, different parts of the nation and everything to accommodate these odd occurrences. So, yeah, I'm in total agreeance. Do they need to rope off military installations anyway? Because there are boneheads out there who, you know, try to stick their nose in. Sometimes we've spoke about it before where people just got to be kept safe from themselves, and you know, sometimes the simple sign that says keep out is not enough, and to be honest with you, it's the military's job to protect us, and if we're letting all of our, if we're showing everybody our playbook, we won't win a game. But nevertheless, it does lead one to wonder when there's a when there's such a measure of security, you know, as in barbed wire and 8-foot fencing and that kind of stuff, leads one to wonder. But yeah, that's my piece on that. Like I said, I've got no cool alien stories because unfortunately, it hasn't happened to this guy, and I'm sure there's a reason for that. Because I'd be the guy walking around going, "Hey guys, it finally happened." What was that, Dave? I finally saw Bigfoot.
Bullshit. That'd be nice.
For as many times
you know, the
I
funny
said,
thing is, you know how much the spell in glow sticks would increase the moment that happened that you did that?
I would probably get an endorsement job for glow sticks somewhere if that was to happen. As many times as I've ripped on that topic.
I wonder as I wander. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, David Hatwell, thank you so much for those erudite words of pseudo encouragement. I mean, you know, it's like, goddamn, pardon my, goddamn, do I need to bring Anna Nicole back into this thing? All right. Hey, Liz, the Queen of Sparkle, what have you got to share with us?
Does it matter what the story is, or does it have to be a conspiracy theory? Like, what are the parameters here?
The parameters are what you want to share with us. Because we just love you. We just love you, Liz. We think you're great. So whatever you want to talk about it.
Well, it's funny. This year for Halloween, I took a flight to an unknown state for me. And when I got there, I was greeted by probably the coolest person I've met face to face. That's at least that tall that I know in person. So, anyways, I met Todd this past Halloween, and it was pretty freaking amazing. But
date, mind you,
but I,
if you're gonna meet me, why not? Well, might as well be Halloween.
And it snowed. And it snowed that day.
It did.
So, yeah, remember it was it dusted. It didn't stick, but
we
it,
got
it dusted.
To prove it.
Do what?
We have pictures to prove it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So, I guess what this story leads to is I have picked up a new culinary style of cooking that's essentially taking some of my favorite foods and making them into pizzas. Well, the reason I bring this up is because Todd took me to this delicious restaurant, and they basically took the concept of a waffle and flipped it on its head.
Oh,
and
my God,
fell in
yes.
love with it. So it's a stuffing waffle with mashed potatoes with gravy on it, and then it has turkey on top, and then you get, like, this cranberry chutney on the side. So delicious. It was everything that he hyped it up to be. So I've decided that what I'm sharing with you guys is I'm going to be starting a recipe book on how to transition common foods into a pizza-style eatable meal, taking, for example, chili and making the crust of what would be the pizza cornbread, and then putting the chili down as like the sauce, and then putting your toppings on it, you know, the green onions, the sour cream, blah, blah, blah. So I am doing that, and I'm also trying to figure out how to do, with it being the holidays, a holiday pizza because of that one waffle sitting in that one diner. Now I'm changing my own cooking game.
You go, girl. The you know what? In this true story, I'll say here, the Liz kind of quit being my queen of sparkle, and she started being my damn daughter. The she became one of my another daughters when you were up here, and that was great. But let me tell you, you're talking chili. Do not underrate it. You may be talking pizzas for your cookbook, but if you want to use leftovers and food reutilization, let me tell you about a chili omelet.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I'm just saying, and how you dress it is on you, because my thought is straight up, prep the omelet, you got your egg ready to go for the load, you got the you drop the chili in there. You definitely drop some cheese in there with it, but you dress
mm-hmm.
it with some cheese, a little bit of sour cream for, you know, it, and how you present it is on you. You can either do the scoop method or you can kind of do the little squeeze bottle method and, you know, try to create the patterns. But, man, do those patterns with that and say maybe some sriracha. I'm just telling you.
Just a little dollop
of
daisy.
Elaborate on that cookbook.
I would love to,
You're in my wheelhouse.
Yes, sir. I had made street taco pizzas the other day, and they were really good. I actually made, like, I used the mesa corn meal and made my own tortilla, and I used that as the base, and then I did shredded beef.
You did the
masa. So then I did some hot sauce with some of the beef broth and made like a mole-ish style sauce. And then I made a lime, dill, cilantro, creamy, sour cream sauce to drizzle on top. Dude, you talk about good eating. It was like eating street tacos. Oh, and then homemade pico. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I'm having a not pizza cookbook. It's going to be good.
Wow.
All because of you, Todd.
You know, I'm here to help.
Well, I need you to be here to taste test whenever I get them going.
Dr. John will come taste test. Don't worry.
Maybe I should have a Pop Culture Stars panel taste my cooking. We can do it chop style.
Exactly. We should.
I like it.
Well, I tell you what. That is wonderful, Liz. I would like to talk with you more about this because I have been serving breakfast pizza with omelets on top of pizza. Oh, my God, it's great. So we'll talk about that more later. So
yes, sir.
All I got to say is thank you so much.
because
what
British ladies
culture star tangents.
Well, the British lady's going to hit us very quickly, so we've got to go to Josh Pierce.
Hello.
Who's got a story for us, and then I'll wrap us up. Josh Pierce, what is your story?
Well, I just wanted to start by saying that the chili omelet sounds really, really good, except what is the omelet before you fold it if not a perfect base for a pizza? So.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, if you could make the book Scratch and Sniff, I'm the first one in line for that one.
Do you want to taste test too? I can invite you out as well.
So it sounds like a really great idea. And, you know, as far as Christmas pizza goes, I'm thinking it would be a terrible shame not to mention a deconstructed gingerbread house.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, make it a smoothie.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
Oh, my God.
We need to do a food show, John.
Yeah, that would be
awesome. Well,
yeah,
maybe we can add – we can do pop culture food. We'll do something like that. That would be a great thing to add. It would. So we'll talk about it.
Damn, Liz, there it is. Pop Culture Stars Cookbook.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, we've done it. We have cracked it.
Well, yeah, to bring you around full swing, John. Not necessarily local. We're going to get back to the local in a second, but. I don't know, I've been hearing a lot more stuff lately about, remember people used to talk about it, you know, years ago about the HAARP array and things like that, where they were kind of contemplating possible ways of changing the weather patterns and things like that. And
yeah,
you know, over the last couple of years, you haven't really heard very much about it, but now, you know, China and Russia have that joint project, the SURA project, that apparently they've got active and running, and there's multiple sites around the world, especially in the higher latitudes, where they're, you know, attempting weather modification, changing the weather patterns, things like that, and they're saying it could be tied in with things like earthquakes as well, especially the Russian and Chinese Sura site outside of. But I just think it's very
well. Well, I'll tell you what, Josh. I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to say next week on ScaryCast, not this week, but next week, would you come on and let's talk about that?
Let's do it.
Okay, next week, 11 p.m. Thursday night, 2 hours after WCW Retro. Let's do it. Okay.
Do it. Okay, let's do it.
No more about that. We're going to talk about it. So send me an abstract. I'll hit you up here in a day or two. Well, actually, I'll see you this weekend at the world's greatest thing, the Krampus Festival, and I'll see you at the Somerville Comic Con with your lovely wife,
what's
who's
up, Mark?
One of the most incredible artists we've ever met. So all I got to say is thanks to everybody. My salutation and my greeting tonight is I want to thank some of the very most wonderful people in the world, from Liz Brackett to Todd Saxton to Dave. What's his name?
David Blaine, he's a magician.
We love Dave, and to Josh and Melissa, and I'm here too. I want to thank everybody. This has been the most fun. This is what Pop Culture Stars is about. We talk about things that nobody else will talk about. We went all the way from UFOs to aliens to Bigfoot to the Sumter County Police to everybody. And we had a good time.
Don't forget pizza.
Yeah.
And of course,
cookbook, you name it.
What?
The cookbooks, you name it. I mean, we were all over the map tonight.
You got it. That's right. So I want to say thank you to everyone, and appreciate you all. We'll be back next week. Pop Culture Stars,
hey,
another great guest.
Quick, John, can I jump in real quick and just wish everybody, I know it's a night early. Tomorrow is Krampusnacht.
That's right. Well, we're celebrating it on the 6th. So look forward to having everyone there. What?
Melissa and I were just happy Christmas, Krampusnacht, which is tomorrow night.
Well, that's
exactly right.
Look, if there's a show full of Krampus, this is it.
Shut, Mark.
It's the Krampus Dave Atwell. He's as much of a Krampus as we've ever met.
Remember, if you're a bad child and you don't hydrate, you will experience Krampus. Remember that.
Good
to know.
If
you
don't hydrate,
myself.
Oh my God.
This has
Krampus
been a public
service. Krampus is all about bad children pulling up with bad hamstring injuries. That's what Krampus is all about.
and that's your PSA by David Havlow.
That's right.
Dave is horrible hydration. Oh, my God, this is terrible.
And whatever you
Sounds
do,
like the best.
Don't use single-serve bottles, because now if you drink out of a single-serve plastic bottle, you are Satan to go along with it. So, yes, if you don't want Krampus to come stuff you in a bag and beat your ass on Christmas Eve, hydrate and do not use single-serve bottles, or else you will receive Krampus. Remember that, kid.
You know, the number one gift for Krampus Eve is Aspirin cream.
Oh, I thought it was pampering.
Could be. Could be.
Before the British lady says goodbye, I love all of you. Dave, Todd, Liz, our guests Josh and Melissa, and I'm just unblessed. Thank you so much. Pop culture stars.
Hey.
The greatest thing that can happen.
Melissa, thanks for being here. We really
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys being here. You guys were awesome.
Oh my God.
We'd like to have you back.
Here. It's like group therapy.
Right?
Liz, that's perfect. Liz, you got it. This
yeah.
is group therapy.
This is group therapy.
Oh, and Liz,
so awesome.
Liz, we know that you work hard and you can't be here with us always, but every time you're here, you're an inspiration. So Liz,
thank you.
Liz Brackett, thank you so much. We love you.
You got it, man.
Okay?
We can't wait to read
All right.
the cookbook. I love you guys.
Oh, the cookbook. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, who knows where that comes from?
Well, I've heard more than one woman say that.
Same.
No, it's oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I love you, honey.
90 seconds
right
left.
Here,
the British lady is yelling. Where does that come from? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Where does what come from?
Sounds like prom
night. Are you
hey.
Having a moment?
Are you sure it's
That
movie?
Comes from the Scientology episode of South Park. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That or Valley Girl, I wasn't sure. hey, group, big hugs, because this show kicked ass.
Yeah. It did. This was so much fun. Thanks, Josh and Melissa. Thanks to the Queen of Sparkle. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Todd. And I'm going to say goodbye.
John.
Good night. Good night. Bye.
All good right. Night. Good night, everybody. Safe travels. Beware Krampus. Hydrate.
Drink a lot of water.
Right.
And don't be a little bastard.